Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and we read from the verse 7. The verse 7. Thou art fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. I want to leave with you the verse 8, and I want to think about it and make application of it to the Lord Jesus and his call to his bride. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Here the Lord Jesus Christ shows his great love and concern to find his bride. And I want to look at it under that thought of his care and his love and his compassion for his bride, the church. And for you, individually, child of God, the Lord Jesus loves us. He cares for us. And he feels for us something akin to the way the bridegroom feels here for the spouse. And I want you to notice, first of all, what the church is to the spouse, to the Lord Jesus. My spouse, he says. In fact, he calls her that several times in those few verses that we read. Verse 9, my sister, my spouse. Verse 10, my sister, my spouse. Verse 11, my spouse. He's always calling the believer my spouse, my bride. It shows that he loves her. It shows that he looks upon himself as in union with her. He has compassion upon her. He desires her, just as a man desires his wife, and loves his wife, and communes with his wife, and loves the companionship and the fellowship and the friendship and all the trials that they go through together and all the joys that they experience together. They love each other's company. And the Lord Jesus loves us, and he shares all things with us. And in our trials, he loves us in our trials, and he shares them with us. And in our poverty, he shares his riches. So he has love for his people. And you must remember that, child of God, that even when you're in the difficult times, the Lord Jesus still loves you. You're his spouse. The Savior would never turn against his spouse. He would never turn against that one that he bought with his blood, that he brought to himself and that he called. So he expresses here his relationship. He reminds her, you're my spouse. He doesn't just say, come and look. No, he says, my spouse. My spouse. And so, don't forget your relationship to Jesus. You've believed in him, and he loves you. He loves you, and you're his. You're always his. So don't forget that. So what the church is and what you are to Jesus Christ. But then I want you to notice, secondly, where he finds her. Because he says there, come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. She's in Lebanon. He had to go to Lebanon, so to speak, to find her, to call her. And so Lebanon is a place, of course, north of Israel. It's not in the land of promise. He had to go outside to find her. She was distant. She was far off. Lebanon is the territory of the Gentiles. And that's where the Lord Jesus said, we were far off. We were far off when he came to find us, when he sought us. We were foreigners and strangers. We were outside the confines of Israel. We were strangers to the promises and to the covenants. We're Gentiles. We're not in the land of promise. We're in Lebanon. Far off. Distant. Foreigners. Strangers. But he came to find us. He sought us out. And so that's the idea of that thought of Lebanon. Remember the parable of the lost sheep? What does it say about the parable of the lost sheep? It says he left the 99 and he went into the mountains. That's where they were. They're in the mountains, this lost sheep. He went into the mountains to find the lost sheep. Not easy to go into the mountains. Nobody goes into the mountains. But Jesus goes into the mountains for the one sheep that's lost. Lebanon is the place of the mountains. In fact, he says here later on, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Lebanon is the mountain country, the difficult place. If you're lost in Lebanon, nobody goes to find you. But Jesus comes. He goes into the mountains for the sheep that's lost. You were in a difficult place. You were in the world. You were in sin. And you loved your sin. And you didn't want to give it up. Lebanon's a place of attraction and beauty. There's something attractive and glorious about it to the worldly. It's not the place you leave easy. It's not the place you turn away from. But when Jesus comes, and when he calls you, you leave it. And he comes to call us from the world, from the mountains, from the place of difficulty. It's the place of danger as well. It's the dens of the lions are in the mountains. And it's the place of the leopards. The wild beasts are referred to. He came into the place of difficulty and the place of wildness. We were lost among the wild beasts. We were in danger. The devil thought he had us. We were in the secure place. He had us in his dens, the dens of the lions. He thought we were safe in his prison house. He thought we were safe in his dungeon. He thought we were safe in his terrain and his territory. But Jesus came into the den of the lions. He came into the world to seek us and to find us. And he did. And he calls us. So the place where he finds his bride, it's a place of uncleanness. The leopards and the lions are the unclean beasts. It's a place of the world. You'll remember whenever Daniel had a vision and he seen the beasts coming up. One of them was a lion and another one was a leopard. And they represented the kingdoms of this world. And Jesus has gone to find his bride among the kingdoms of this world. That's how he found us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That he sought us out. That he found us. And so, where he finds her, in Lebanon, characterized by all of these things. And we wouldn't have left I wouldn't have left that place at all. Only he come and he drew us. So that's why you're here tonight, child of God. That's why you're sitting around this table and not around a bar or a pub or the TV. You're around the Lord's table. Why? Because he went into Lebanon, the far off place, the difficult place, the dangerous place, the place where the devil had you thought safe. And he brought you to himself. Jesus found me. He went into the mountains to find the sheep that was lost. So the place where he finds her. And then notice thirdly, the calls that she hears. What's the first call that she hears? Come. I've often said Jesus loves that word. That's his favorite word. Whenever he finds the sheep that's lost, what's the first thing that sheep hears? Come. Come. Come with me. The Savior calls us to come. He called us to start the journey. He called us to leave the world and to leave sin and to come to him and to follow him. He called us to come. And didn't we hear that call? We heard it in the gospel. At first we didn't want to come. We liked Lebanon. Oh, I don't want to leave this. Don't want to leave my friends. Don't want to leave this goodly and beautiful land, what seemed goodly and beautiful to us, the world. We didn't want to give it up. But eventually, his calls prevailed. And we come. We come to him. And we're following him tonight. And that's why we're here. So he's called us to come. And then there's another word there. Look, come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look, look, look from the top of the mountains. Look. That's another thing the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to do, to look. Look unto me and be ye saved. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the two favorite words of Jesus, come and look. Don't come with your eyes closed, but look, keep looking to Jesus. Don't look at your sin. Don't look at the world. Don't look at those who persecute you and will pull you down. Keep looking to Jesus. Look. Look to the path that you should trod. Look to the way that you should walk. Look to your ways and look to your heart. And look to the Savior. Look. Look. It says look from the top. Get a good view. Get the best view of Christ. Get the best view of glory. You remember Moses, he had to go to the top of Pisgah to see the land, to see the promised land. And that's what we have to do, but to go to the top and we have to look by faith. Look. Look to see the promised land where Jesus is bringing us to. Look by faith. Keep looking on to Jesus. Whenever Paul says that in the context of the Hebrews, he's talking about all the witnesses that compass us about. Those who are already in glory and in heaven. They've finished. They've got to the land of promise. But we haven't. We have to keep looking. We have to keep looking on to Jesus. We have to go to the top and get the best view we can. So we keep going. You see, our pilgrimage is a life of faith. This is a pilgrimage, you see. Come. Come with me from Lebanon and look. It's a pilgrimage. But we have to walk it by faith. With the eye of faith. And keep looking on to Jesus. So it's a pilgrimage and a path of faith and a life of trust. And so that's what we do. We keep looking to Jesus. Looking to him. I keep coming to him for fresh cleansing every day. We keep coming to him as our prophet, priest, and our king. We're coming all the time. That's what he says. Come. 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 And look. And whenever you're feeling down, you remember this. Look. Look. Go to the top and look. Look what's before you. Look what you have in Jesus Christ. Look at the Word. Look at the promises. Keep looking. Keep looking, child of God. Don't shut your eyes. So keep walking the path of faith. And then I want you to notice, fourthly, the company that is offered. Come with me. He says, come with me. He's not going to leave us alone. He's going to give us his presence. He says, come with me. With me. Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always. So when you come, you're coming with me. I'm not leaving you behind. I'm not leaving you behind. You're coming with me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The day you come to Christ, he never left you behind since. You're with him. You're with me. He says, and I'm with you. I'm with you always, he says. Didn't he say that? Was that one of the last promises? I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm with you always. Come with me. You have his presence. Don't forget that. So you have this wonderful company. So you see the cure that Jesus has for his bride, calling her and seeking for her and bringing her to himself, and then telling her to look and to follow him, and promises her his presence, his fellowship. And whenever you feel down, you can lean on his breast. And whenever nobody has a word of comfort, and when you look around, as David did, I look around and there was nobody at my right hand, they're all gone. And there was no man cured from his soul, but he remembered the Lord. He's always there. You see, you don't look to your right hand, because everybody will be away when it gets rough. You look up. Jesus is always there. Keep looking up. He's always with you. So don't get discouraged, child of God. You have his presence. You have his presence. So this supper is like this verse. It tells me Jesus loves us and he cares for us and he seeks us and he buys us with his blood and he draws us to himself and he won't leave us. And we remember this until he comes back again, and it comforts us. He won't leave us. This is a sign and a seal that he's with us. He's with us. It's his table. There's a parallel verse, at least it's parallel in my thinking, in Psalm 76. Psalm 76 and verse 4. So Jesus comes to the mountains and he calls his bride. And the bride has a choice. She can stay in the mountains. She can have the mountains, the goodly mountains of Lebanon. That's what they're called in the Bible. She can have the goodly mountains of Lebanon, or she can have Jesus. Is there a comparison? Is there a choice? Yes, there's a choice, but there's no comparison. And if you look at Psalm 76, verse 4, concerning the Lord Jesus, it says, thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. Now, why would the psalmist say that? There's nothing to be compared with the Lord Jesus. Now, the mountains of prey are the mountains that we read about, where all the lions are and all the leopards. Up in the mountains of, well, they're not there today. You can't find them there today. They're extinct there today. But they used to be there. The wild beasts in the north, in Lebanon. The lions and the leopards. But Jesus is more excellent. And more majestic. And more glorious than the mountains of prey. So that's why we didn't stay in the mountains. That's why we left the world. That's why we come to Christ. That's why we chose him. Why did we choose him? Because we discovered he's more glorious and he's more excellent than the world. We discovered. And we believe that. The world doesn't believe that. That's why they don't leave the world. That's why they won't come to Christ. They see no excellence and no glory in him. They see no beauty in him. But we've seen it. I tell you, we've seen it. And there's no competition. We've chosen Christ. I want you to think about those words about Jesus. Thou art more glorious and excellent. Those are two beautiful words to describe Jesus. He's glorious and he's excellent. The word glorious means the bright one. Thou art the bright one. And he is. He's the light of the world. He's the Son of Righteousness. There's no comparison to the mountains. When you look up and see the sun, there's no comparison to the mountains. No matter how beautiful the mountains are, the sun is far more glorious than the mountains. It's the sun that illuminates the mountains. And Jesus, he's the sun. He's the glory. He's glorious. Isn't he glorious? He's lovely. The world's glory is a glory of wild prey, wild beasts. The world's glory is a glory to destroy. Prey talks about destruction. The world destroys. The world pulls you down. The world won't let you become like Christ. The world, its glory is destruction. Islam's glory is destruction. False religion's glory is destruction. But Christ's glory is to save. His is the glory to save from destruction. He can't be compared to the mountains of prey. That's all destructive. But he's mighty to save. He's not destructive. He's a deliverer. He's glory in his saving power. He's glorious in his saving grace. He's the glorious one, the bright one. And then I like that word excellent. He's excellent. And there's so many words to describe the Lord Jesus. Excellent. Whenever you were at school, didn't you get your results? Boys, and the best one you could get was what? Excellent. He did excellent. That's top. Top of the class. We're excellent. Jesus is excellent. He's top of the class. This word excellent is translated variously in different parts of the Bible. Sometimes it's translated mighty. Sometimes it's translated famous. He's famous. But the translation that I like is noble. Noble. Sometimes it's translated noble. Sometimes it refers to officers, and they're called nobles. And this is the word that's used, excellent ones. Nobles. Ah, Jesus is noble. He's noble in his office. He's a noble king. He's a noble prophet. He's a noble priest. He's a noble savior. He's noble. He won't fail you. He won't disappoint you. He could never be unfaithful. Why? He's noble. He's excellent. He's noble in his offices. He's noble in his character. Oh, it's so rare to find a noble man today. But Jesus is noble in his character. He's kind. He's gracious. He's patient and long-suffering. And he gave his body for us, and he shed his blood for us. He shed his precious blood for us because he's noble. He's our noble Savior. And he comes and he calls us and he keeps telling us, look, look, look. And he's noble in his works, isn't he? All the things, whenever he touched that leper, oh, he was so noble. Whenever he raised the dead, he was so noble. But the noblest place of all was whenever they took him out wearing the crown of thorns and Pilate had to say, behold the man. I tell you, Pilate done a lot of interrogating in his day. He didn't get to the top by being a wishy-washy effeminate person. He was a tough man. And he knew how to interrogate. And he knew the kind of man that he interrogated. But you see, when Jesus come out, with the crown of thorns and the purple robe on, all he could say was, echo homo, the man, the man. And he was a man, and he was a noble man, and he died on the cross nobly. He gave himself, and he didn't moan and groan and complain. He was noble. In the depths of bearing our sins, a noble death. And he shed noble blood. And a noble body was broken. He's glorious and excellent. He's an excellent Savior. Don't you love him? Don't you love him? And don't you want to be like him? And one day you will, child of God, you'll be like him. You'll be glorious one day yourself. And you'll be noble and excellent just like him. And the Lord hasten the day. And even now, may we be changed somewhat and begin to display some nobility. when he brings us through sufferings and trials, and instead of being the ignoble person moaning and groaning and getting on, murmuring and unhappy and miserable, let's be like Jesus. Let's have some nobility about us. Let's think of what he is. And let's say, Lord Jesus, give me the patience that you had in your sufferings. Give me patience like you. Make me noble in my trials, I pray. And so, these are just a few thoughts from the Word of God. That's Psalm 8. How excellent is thy name. The first verse and the last verse. Not just excellent, but how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Brethren and sisters, the excellent one died for us. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. You just keep on trusting him. You just keep on depending on him. You just keep on coming to him. You just keep on looking to him. He won't let you down. He'll never let you down. He's too noble to do that.